Get ready for Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith.
Rebecca Blacksmith.
Take a host with a few Ivy League graduate degrees, a room full of bright CEOs, and throw in a conversation about leadership. Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith. For all leaders listening right now.
Right now. Right now.
We're in the Leaders Portfolio studio. I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, and I want to thank the supporters of leadership. Leaders Portfolio sponsors Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, their development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you're trying to reach the business community directly, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. We are in studio with the CEO and president of Daytner Construction Group, Ms. Teresa Alfaro Daytner. Welcome, Teresa.
Well, thank you for having me here. I appreciate it.
Teresa was an Ernst & Young 2010 Entrepreneur of the Year Maryland finalist, and Daytner Construction Group is your baby.
Yes,
it is. You conceived it, grew it, and how? Tell us a little about revenues and employees and all that stuff.
Sure. I started the company in January of 2003. We currently have 10 employees, and in 2010, our revenue was over $16 million.
And you you started this out by attending a U.S. Small Business Administration annual conference, and you actually met a woman who ran a construction company, and she helped mentor you.
She did.
And so my question is, why did she, you know, you're a competitor, you're a new competitor, and she obviously saw something of value of you, so it's the same value that you might be competing with her. So why?
In fact, she was from California. So we weren't in the same geographic markets.
Got it.
And she saw something, I believe, in me that reminded her of herself and saw this tremendous opportunity to team and partner. And I think that was brilliant of her as a business leader to think about ways that she could expand her business by empowering others.
Excellent. And so you got this idea. You said, I'm going to start a construction company.
Yes. Well, you have to understand that I started out, I always say I was about 2 feet tall when I decided I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And this is my third business. So I went to school and studied accounting to get some kind of background that would make sense and would be transferable in any type of business. So if you imagine this entrepreneur with this accounting degree looking for a product or service, I felt very, very comfortable in construction. And between the built environment, it was something that I saw as a profitable opportunity. And that's really, I started getting more and more experience in construction before I started this business.
And you talked about two other companies. One was a roofing company.
Yes.
And that was with your first husband. And this, your second and current husband, you run this construction company with. So you know something about running businesses with partners.
I do. I actually started the first business. I was in college when I started my roofing company, and my first husband was working for a roofing company, and his friends were going out and starting companies, and they were what I call FBN, fly by night. And, you know, I would say a lot of them were your typical, the roofer that doesn't show up on time, that leaves a mess. And I just kept thinking, oh my gosh, this business model is so simple.
Yep.
We can do this. And at the time, my first husband was very good with metalwork. So I felt very confident that we could do this. I put a business model together, did some money mailers. So I found a good way to get the work. And then we took these walkable pitch. We'd go into a development where there's a couple hundred houses that all have the same age of roof. And it was very straightforward and easy. And I went and found local laborers. And so we got the work. We did the work. We collected the money. And it was very quick. Sometimes we were in and out in 1 day or 2 days. And so it was a great starter business for me.
Excellent. And so then, so tell me what, I'll ask you this, what didn't work in your previous businesses?
I would say in the first business, the marriage
was
already a challenge and didn't work so well. The other thing is, I don't know that I had long-term vision in that first business either. It really was, like I said, it was kind of a starter business, and I really had fun with it. But when I was done, I was done. Yeah, once it got operational, too, it was a little boring. Now, I then went and worked for a large general contractor in their project accounting department after I'd worked for a CPA firm for a while, and it gave me great opportunity to see a commercial construction company, what I call from the inside out. So if you see it from the financial perspective, you have an idea of the process from all the way from the very beginning of what it takes to estimate a project and how the project managers manage a project to where the cost centers are and what kind of profitability to expect to negotiating with subcontractors and how the whole thing worked from a really unique position because I could see a cross spectrum of the whole company from where I sat. And that's actually where I had met my second husband, but I only stayed there for a short period of time and then went off and when I passed the CPA exam and started a CPA practice. And so in between working for this general contractor, I then took on clients of my own that were small contractors. So they were electricians and carpenters and plumbers and primarily doing residential work. But I also helped them I helped advise and grow their businesses. So we were looking at business plans, cash flow projections, as well as talking them into the next step. So maybe they started out with some laborers that they paid by cash. Well, if they wanted to grow the business, I was able to counsel them and say, okay, these are employees, and if you want to grow a company, what's your vision here? And so I would help them put arms and legs on their businesses, which for me was really like getting a master's degree. Mm-hmm. And so again, I had a lot of familiarity with the construction world, and I saw lots of opportunities. I felt very prepared. I convinced my husband to quit his job and come work for me. And I said, you work so hard for other people. Why don't you come work for me? And I thought he was a phenomenal project manager. And we always talked shop. So we had this great working relationship even before we started working together.
Oh, that's excellent. Excellent. And you also, while you were doing this, you were parenting six children.
Yes.
Was that harder
You're
than running the business?
You're making me tired just thinking about it. The oldest daughter is my stepdaughter who didn't live with us, so is really only five in the house. You know, what a break, right? And when I started, I ran my CPA practice while we had the five children, and then I closed it down when my twins were born. They're the youngest two, and they're now 9 years old. And so I took about a year and a half off, and that year and a half was very challenging. My parents also lived with us, and my father had advanced stage cancer, and my mother had progressive multiple sclerosis. So there were a lot of dependents. And once I got through that first year with my twins and my sick parents, I really felt like what doesn't kill you makes you stronger and felt so invincible at that point. That's kind of – I started the business when my twins were a year and a half old. And so it's been a big challenge. And there's pros and cons to having work flexibility but being on 24/7 as the business owner. And my husband and I tag team extremely well. We've had recent conversations. Actually, I started talking to him a couple years ago about buying him out and bringing on an investor and asking him to just be a consultant in the business because our house was needing more of a full-time parent. And so he was grinning from ear to ear, and I'll take that as a positive thing.
Excellent, excellent. You know, I got into you mentioned your background. You said bachelor's degree in accounting, and I didn't get to say University of Maryland. And so when you were doing accounting, you always thought, I want to do businesses. I mean, that was your thought.
I never anticipated being an accountant.
Okay.
When I was looking at the business school, first of all, I almost dropped out in high school. I was as at risk as you can get in terms of being completely bored. Being ADD, they couldn't teach me fast enough, and I'm very experiential. I'm visual. I'm experiential. Don't tell me. Show me. So I grew up 10 miles from Washington, D.C. in Greenbelt, Maryland. It was an excellent school, and I just couldn't sit still. So I would take myself on educational field trips on a regular basis, which included going to Washington, D.C., and I know all the Smithsonian Museums inside out and the Library of Congress, and to study the Civil War, I would go to Gettysburg and want to feel the experience and so on. So once I got into, I decided I wanted to have a college degree. It was kind of a mental thing about not wanting to feel like a failure. and I'm the first person in my family to graduate from college.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
So thank you. So when I looked at the business school, and actually I started out in genetic engineering, but that's a whole other story.
So you go to college and then you think, let me try genetic engineering.
Yes, yes, I did. And I did some research at the Department of Agriculture when I was 17. And it was fun, but it was still, again, a little too slow for me. I figured I'd rather read about someone else's research, even though I was fascinated by DNA. So in the business school, they hadn't started these entrepreneurial programs that they have in place now, which probably would have been ideal for me. And because I didn't enjoy school, it was opportunity cost for me, and it was a big investment. So my perspective was, when I get done with this, when I have a certificate, when I have a diploma, I will be employable. And honestly, the other option that I looked at if I wasn't going to go to college was that I really wanted to be a carpenter. Mm. And the truth is that when you become a carpenter's apprentice, you're getting paid.
Right, right.
You're getting paid to learn. So here's someone who has a mindset of thinking, I'm thinking investment, I'm thinking opportunity cost, and I love the built environment and the visuals. So the toss-up between the two, I chose accounting because I thought it was not only the most challenging, it was going to be the most effective. Marketing and management were a little fuzzy, warm for me at the time, and I needed a job when I got out of school. So I wanted to know the money and be very comfortable with financial statements and cash flow.
Excellent, excellent. Teresa, we've been talking about your company. You're the CEO and president of Daytner Construction Group here in studio with us. And You know, it's unusual. You're a female in a construction business. So how is that a positive and how is that a negative? And give me about a 30-second or so answer.
Well, my lens is different. My father was a hairdresser. My mother was a geologist. So really, the truth is I grew up gender blind, color blind, and I didn't know I wasn't allowed to. So I would say that's kind of the shortest answer I could give you, is that I saw it as a great opportunity. And I mean, you'd see these construction company owners driving big trucks and having vacation homes and doing quite well. So my feeling was that I saw it as a great opportunity and something that I was very comfortable with and could put the resources together to build a strong business.
Excellent. Teresa, we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to hit a commercial break first, and we'll continue talking about Daytner Construction Group. I want to also thank these supporters of leadership. These are some of our Leaders Portfolio sponsors, and we appreciate businesses that care enough to give back to their community. There are businesses that say, hey, we care about leadership. We believe it's important. And so we want to thank Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, their development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and of course, Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. I'm Dr. Blacksmith. We'll return after this.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Are you a business leader who practices leadership? Apply for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Have a client who emphasizes leadership? Nominate their company for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Past winners include startups, as well as a company producing $150 million a year in revenue. Tune in to Leaders Portfolio with Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith on the air and online at leadersportfolio.com. For Leaders Portfolio Awards information, visit leadersportfolio.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests, with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Do you want others to know how your organization can help them? Then and tell the business community why they need your business. Become a proud sponsor of Leaders Portfolio by calling 864-323-2600. By becoming a sponsor, you will be communicating directly with your target audience. Leaders Portfolio offers low-cost sponsorships for high impact, and Leaders Portfolio guarantees results. Let us tell you how by phoning 864-323-2600. That's 864-323-2600.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Back here in studio, Leaders Portfolio, audiocast on leadersportfolio.com. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, here at the CEO and president of Daytner Construction Group, Teresa Alfaro Daytner. And Teresa, there was something I was going to ask you. You've said that you find Hispanic culture very supporting, and then they'll just offer you their own networks of contacts. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think that I have to give you this great example. I was at a conference yesterday where I was introduced to someone, and it turned out he was from the Dominican Republic. Well, we talked for about 5 minutes, hit it off like we were long-lost cousins, and at the point that we're departing each other, we're hugging and kissing, and I had to explain to my coworker who was next to me how that works. Well, you don't understand. We're just family. And there was this immediate connection that we've already advanced so far in our networking opportunity and our trust and our belief system of each other that we're going to get quicker down to the opportunity to work together than I would say if it were outside of that community. I think that's typical. People are attracted to people that they're comfortable with and that they trust.
Excellent. And so, do you feel like, because you've had some people, like you mentioned earlier, there was a woman who had mentored you. Do you feel like you need to do some of that now or have done some of that because you've been given breaks and so pass it on?
No doubt. No doubt. That's been so empowering for me and inspirational that I'm really happy to be in a position where I've gotten some media exposure and press that other people are seeing and saying, hey, you've inspired me. And then I have the opportunity, furthermore, to meet with people and to listen to them and help counsel and advise. So at the moment, while my life is extremely full, it's pretty jam-packed. We still have 4 children at home that are teenagers, and I have a 7-month-old granddaughter. And so it's hard to squeeze it in. But when I can, I just love being able to connect with people and share what's been the opportunities that have been given to me.
Excellent. Excellent. And you're still full at home.
Oh, yes.
You still have a lot of kids at home. Now, are you teaching them to be entrepreneurs, or are you saying, no, be an accountant? I mean, are you?
No, absolutely. And it's exciting the ways that I see it manifest. And it surprises me when sometimes the way that they talk and the lessons they've learned without me specifically teaching them, but that they've kind of gotten by osmosis from maybe it's, you know, the dinner conversation that my husband and I are having about business at the table, or that they've seen some of the press about me and are proud of that. And I think it really does help them to reach and think about their own entrepreneurial aspirations.
Excellent. Now, let's talk a little bit about your field of construction, because we haven't
Sure.
really gotten into your business sector. What do you see going on? What type of construction projects are you doing? Have you seen a change as a result of the recession? Talk about all that.
There's definitely been a change as the result of the recession in all sectors, because even in the federal government, and now we're under continuing resolution, we have had what we call for sure projects that are getting ready to start that the funding is not available at the time that we're ready to start. So it's a real challenge as far as trying to manage workload and staff utilization. But also in the commercial sector, even the people that have money are really cautious and conservative and kind of waiting things out. So the industry sector has definitely been hard hit. Now, we are I'm positioning us to stay in a core competency of doing professional services, which is owner's representation and construction management. And in that event, we actually oversee the architect and the general contractor on behalf of the owner who whoever the financial stakeholders are. So those projects that we manage are typically, they've been $6 million to $86 million. And there are fewer of those as well. We work a lot in higher education, which is interesting trying to follow the state funding if those are public sector universities. And really every sector has been hit quite hard. Because if they have to choose between operations and maintenance or new capital projects, it's a big problem. So we're also looking at opportunities in renovation, renewable energy, things that would make buildings more efficient. So we work closely with mechanical contractors that operate the controls of buildings and systems to make them more efficient, because I think much more money is going into upgrading and renovating buildings than necessarily into new.
And construction nationally has been hit, but it's been somewhat insulated due to the federal, you know, the different types of government funding that are in this particular sector. So in some ways, are you kind of thankful where your business location is?
Oh, sure. There's, as a matter of fact, we just got into the federal sector about 3 years ago. Prior to that.
Just in time.
Just in time, exactly. Because I think that the people, the construction companies that tried to enter the market on the trailing end, it's been very difficult, and people are taking low to zero margin and sometimes loss just to keep their operations moving. So it's highly competitive from a taxpayer standpoint. I think there's certainly some great deals out there that owners, including the federal government, are able to get. But we're definitely more insulated in our economy here because there are federal employees as well who live in our communities and have more stable income. So all the way around, I'm very grateful to be in the D.C. area.
Excellent. And your construction projects are, is it primarily this area, pretty much exclusively?
Primarily, in particular, our general contracting, because you're really dependent upon really strong subcontractors, and you're only as strong as your weakest link. So the more links that you have in the chain, you want to make sure you have good, strong subcontractors. And that's hard to do outside of your geographic area. On our professional consulting work, we have if a client takes us out of area, then we go. So we've worked in Ohio and Texas and Florida, in New York, and that's a great opportunity for us to take our intellectual side of our business and our professionals and do consulting in further areas.
Excellent. Well, Teresa, I want to thank you for being on Leaders Portfolio. So thank you for coming in studio today.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the offer. It's nice meeting with you.
Yeah, you likewise. You know, I'm not a Dominican or Republican, but we'll give you a hug afterwards.
Oh,
okay?
Good. And don't forget the kiss on the cheek.
Okay, I'll do that. And do different Hispanic cultures have different ways of greeting? Is that true?
You know, I would say that that's pretty uniform.
Okay.
As far as the hug and the kiss. I mean, we eat different foods. We listen to different music. There's different dialects. And there's certainly some slightly different cultural changes because, you know, if you think of Latin America, it's a wide swath geographically. but we hug and kiss the same.
Okay. Excellent. Teresa Daytner here with us on Leaders Portfolio. And I want to thank these sponsors, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia. They are all our sponsors, and we appreciate that they are, you know, proud sponsors of leadership. And so everything from supporting the leadership show so that you guys as business owners or as employees can, you know, come and learn about leadership, that's wonderful. Also, speaking of leadership, I want to tell you about our Leaders Portfolio Awards competition. We are in the middle of our Leaders Portfolio Awards competition. We launched this in 2010, and basically what it was a competition to talk about leadership. We gave away an award for Business Leader of the Year. Business Leader of the Year if you had less than 50 employees, if you had over 50 employees. Also, Leadership Business of the Year outside the D.C. area. We did one in the D.C. area. We did Leadership Business of the Year. We also did a Rising Business Leader of the Year. So maybe somebody is, wants to start a business. They're not yet, but they're going to be. And so we do another Rising Business Leader of the Year. And we're very thankful to all of our past winners from last year, HPTI, Catapult Technologies, Brittio Horizons. I mean, we really appreciate the competition. And we had some, you know, businesses submit with one employee. We had other businesses submit with 700 employees. So we encourage all different leadership businesses or business leaders to apply. And of course, you also can apply to both categories if you'd like, which we did see some people do. Maybe you think your CEO is amazing and you think your business is amazing. And so in which case that makes sense. And if you've got a great employee, you also want to do rising business leader. But the winners, of course, come in studio with us. They get to, you know, we'll talk about leadership and their businesses on air as well. Of course, they're going to get a, you know, an award to display it at their headquarters, as well as, you know, different radio announcements, our leaders list, which is heavily a list for CEOs and business leaders. And so your business will be found in all these different areas. Judging is by a group of people, including myself and other members of the Leaders Portfolio team and hand-selected business leaders and leadership experts. And so we do a judging panel, and the winners, of course, become leadership discussions on air, and we'll talk about that. So we really encourage that. The competition goes through nominations due by July 7th, 2011, applications due by July 19th, 2011. And then we'll, of course, bring everybody in studio. And so, you know, maybe you know a couple clients who would be great businesses to nominate. Go for it. You can nominate as many as you want. If you're a past winner or past nominee, any of that, you're welcome to apply. We've had listeners nominate someone. We've had former on-air guests, you know, apply themselves. And any of the following, we encourage it. And it's kind of a competitive thing. Also, we mentioned our sponsors. If you would like to be a sponsor of the awards, we are right now permitting new award sponsors in, and you can give us a call at Leaders Portfolio. Find us on the website, leadersportfolio.com. Send us an email on the website, leadersportfolio.com. And that's the best way to be a part of our competition. But we're really excited about it. It's something that I really love. And I'll tell you why. We had such an interesting corporate ethics crisis that happened, and it didn't happen across all businesses. And yet, you know, many businesses were penalized because a few, maybe more than a few, but they did some, you know, terrible things, and it got exposed. Now, we all know there were a lot of terrible things before, but somehow with the Great Recession, it became exposed in a bigger way. So it became public, some of those failures. And so, So this competition really says, no, I am about corporate ethics and leadership. And so, you know, you can enter your business and make a statement. I'm not like, you know, those few, and let your clients know, let your friends know, let your colleagues know, let your family know. And we appreciate that. This is the 2011 Leaders Portfolio Awards. We hope you do nominate or apply or both. Appreciate it. Again, I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, talking to CEOs each week in studio about leadership so that you can learn to be a better leader. If I haven't learned, then I don't think I've done a great job as a host to you so that you can learn about leadership. But I learn from these CEOs each week, and it's wonderful. I enjoy speaking with you about leadership. This has been Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith asking you what's in your portfolio.